was cool to see the video of the worship in Nairobi. I noticed one difference in them and us. And there was a person on stage that had a coat and tie on, which is really interesting how they do things around the world. Last week, I mentioned when I preached that I flushed my keys down the toilet. And if you don't remember anything else I said, you remember that. There's actually been a surprising level of interest in this. Well, the good news is I was able to retrieve my keys. And I brought them with me today as proof. If you'd like to come up after and look at them, hold them, or anything, I have them with me there. I actually think they are among the cleanest keys in all of Metro Atlanta. I doubt that any of you scrubbed your keys with antibacterial soap multiple times this week. So if you wanted to hold anybody else's keys, mine would be the ones to hold. And I know that what I had to do to get my keys, some of you might find objectionable. A number of you might be germaphobes. But I also realize that you don't need to be a germaphobe to find what I did to get my keys objectionable. There are like many levels between germaphobe and what I had to do to get my keys. Was it superhuman, what I did? Perhaps. But I can't really brag about it because it's a gift. I have what's known in my family as the gift of poop. That's what Sue calls it. And really what that means is any time in my family when there's a really bad mess, I'm the one that gets to deal with it. Because I'm gifted in that way. The Bible says to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And so some of us may not be there yet, but just keep praying. Okay. Well, yeah. We need... So I recovered my keys, and the first thing I did was go and show them to Sue. And she immediately put it on Facebook. Which is actually, these days, what makes it actually real. It's on Facebook. I mean, that's why we throw birthday parties for our kids. So we can put it on Facebook. That's why we stage elaborate proposals. So we can put it on Facebook, and it's real then. A lot of really defensive Facebook users out there, I think. Got really quiet in here. So that's the first thing I did. The second thing I did, though, was I sent a text message to Cuddy Karskallen. Now, Cuddy was at work, and I don't usually like to interrupt people at work, but I needed to send a text to Cuddy because Cuddy was hurting over me flushing my keys almost as bad as I was. Because he had kind of been, with me in my misery. I shared a little while back about my car breaking down and me getting a new car one part at a time. And since then, I've had other car issues, which I haven't talked about because it's still too painful. But and then on top of all the both car problems, then I had the key flushing incident. And I called Cuddy right away for advice that night when I flushed him. And we talked about it, but even the next day at church, Cuddy was like, oh, man, that is just not good. And I'm going, I know. And so he was hurting, so I had to text him right away and relieve him from his suffering. You know, in Romans chapter 12, Paul, in this whole chapter, he talks about the connectedness of our church family and the way that we need and rely on each other, and God gifts us in different ways, the gift of leadership, the gift of administration, the gift of poop. There's all these different gifts that God has given us, and we need and we rely on each other. But it goes on. He talks about love needing to be sincere, hate what's evil, cling to what is good. And then in verse 15, it says, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn. And so there's this connectedness that, man, I shouldn't have put that word in my sermon today. We're connected, and we experience that with each other. Many of us, you know, when we're really close, you have that. So I needed to let Cuddy get on with his life, and he has. He's gotten on with his life very well. But that's the way God made us, that we are connected. And, you know, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read there in just a minute. But that idea of being connected, that idea of friendship, spiritual friendships being an important part of our lives, an important part of God's design for us, is really what our Summer Serve program is about. About since God loved us, we ought to love each other. I'm going to read kind of a little context here from the verse that is our theme verse for Summer Serve, 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's our theme verse. Since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. He said, so there's something, because we can't see God, there's this natural disconnect between us and God, because God is so other than we are. But here John is saying, you know, no one has seen God, but when we love each other because God loved us first, there's something about that love that comes alive. And so we're focusing this whole month on the kids in the classes are learning about loving each other in different ways that our friendships with each other impact our lives. Today they're learning about how we learn from each other. And just, you know, having that that vision, that expectation that in my relationships, in our relationships with each other, if we have our eyes open, if we have our ears open, if we have humble hearts to learn, we can really learn a lot from each other. And so, of course, along with that, we're working together to serve people in our community. You know, down to our youngest kids, we're having these lessons about friendship. But learning doesn't just take place in the realm of knowledge. Learning takes place in the realm of experience. So we're not just having lessons about loving. We're doing things together. And that even more powerfully teaches us in ways that head knowledge can't. Even as John said, it says God didn't just tell us that he loves us. It says he showed his love for us by sending Jesus. And we haven't seen God, but when we love each other, we learn about that love. When we love each other, it says God's love then lives in us. And his love, I love this, and his love is made complete in us. So when God loves us, and then when we show love to each other, when we take action, when we don't just think about love, but we experience love, when we act in love, that's when love is made complete. And so we have great opportunities to learn more and more about love, about relationships, about this connection that we have. You know, our theme for the year is known, and we've talked a lot about identity and things like that, and about our security with God. But, you know, one of the most important things that we learn is who we are. One of the most important things that we can learn is who we are in God's eyes, this identity. And one of the things that God teaches us about who we are, how God created us to be, is that we need connection. We need relationships. We need connection and we need relationships in order to learn who we are. Because it's not the same as book knowledge. It's something that in action, in loving, that God's love is made complete in us. Dr. Henry Cloud, he's written some books, Boundaries, and there's a whole bunch of different Boundaries books that he's written, among other things. But he talks about that identity has to be lived out in relationship. It's not something, it's not just head knowledge that exists apart from relationships. But our identity has to be lived out in relationships or in community. He talks about how our brains actually run on relationships, or our brains run on love. In order to develop into a healthy brain, we need love. He said, you know, you can give a child food, water, all the nutrients that they need, but if you don't give them love, he says there are literal black holes in the brain that just don't develop if a child doesn't have love. That's the way we're wired. Our brains feed on love. So we need love to develop, but also we need each other to deal with all the stuff that we have to deal with. Dr. Cloud talks about some research. I shared this at the men's retreat, not this past one, but the one before. Some research was done on monkeys years ago. They were put in a cage, and they were subjected to all kinds of stress stimuli, loud noises, flashing lights, and things like that. And then they measured their stress levels. They could actually measure the chemicals in their brain. And then what they did is they got the monkeys a buddy, another monkey, and put him in the cage with him, and they didn't change the stress stimuli at all. When they tested him for stress, the stress indicators dropped in half. with no change in the noises and the flashing lights and all the things, no change in their environment. But the fact that they had somebody, they had a buddy to go through it with, cut their stress in half. And so the question is, who's your monkey? You need a monkey. You need a buddy. You need somebody to help you deal with flushing your keys or whatever else. There is a spider floating through the... That was pretty cool. I'm not ADD or anything. God has wired us to need each other. We need each other. We need a buddy. We need a friend. We need somebody to experience things, but we also need somebody else to help us learn and even help us learn who we are. Because our identity is not just about, it's not just information. It's experience. That's why we're doing these serving projects with our kids, because we want them to have a vision for this is who God created you to be. Someone who loves, someone who serves. You can do this. This is normal. You know, it's probably not a huge surprise or a baffling mystery that my sons play guitar and sing. But the way that happened was not that they were presented at birth with a birth certificate that says, congratulations, you're a Mathis. Mathises play guitar and sing. It's something that we did together. And we've done it together for years. And, you know, and there's like no guarantee. I didn't know if they would like it or not. But I prayed that they would like it. And now I'm praying that your children will like it. As I said before, I did my part. Those of you with young kids, you know, get them piano lessons and guitar lessons and drum lessons and that kind of thing. But because it's something that they saw and it's something that we did, they believed that they could do it. It was something that became normal for us. And you know, obviously, I want that to be true for many other things that are much more important than playing guitar and singing. But that's really the point of this summer serve. It's from the smallest among us to the largest among us. We can all learn that this is how God wired us to be. God created us to love and to serve. You know, one of the really coolest things about, you know, our kids are involved in loving and serving people they don't even know. And that's pretty cool, but one of the coolest things about it to me is loving and serving people that you don't even know is excellent practice for loving another group of people that are much harder to love, and that is the people you do know. Because it's easy, in a way, to love people you don't have to put up with every day. In a sense, it's easy to serve people that you'll never see again. It's easy, in a sense, maybe to forgive and not hold grudges to people who never cross your mind again. may really make you mad when they cut you off in traffic, but then they go on their way and your paths never cross again, and you probably don't live your life seething about that woman in 1987 who cut me off, you know? And I was really mad, and I had my softball equipment with me, and I put my hand back on an aluminum bat and was thinking about what I might do if I... Okay, I'm just making that up. Because we don't do that stuff. The people that we really have trouble loving and serving are the people that we love the most. The people that we really have trouble forgiving are the people that we love the most. They're the people that we're around all the time. And the people that have the most trouble loving us are the people that have to put up with us all the time. You know, God is so smart, making love for God and others the greatest commandments. Because if you can do that, you know, the Bible says all the law and the prophets hang on those two commands. I think maybe another way you can say that is if you can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you can love your neighbor as yourself, you can do pretty much anything. Because those are kind of the hardest things we have to do. So to get really good at it, we have to practice. And we want to love God, but as John says, you know, but we can't see God. No one has seen God. But it doesn't mean we can't demonstrate it. This is the way that we demonstrate, the way that we show that we love God, is that we love each other. When we love each other, we show that we know the God who loves. If we love one another, then God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. You know, those commands to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Those commands to say, since God loved us, we ought to love each other also. Those commands are not learned by memorizing. They're learned by practicing. And so I imagine that God is going to give you and me countless opportunities to practice the most important things this week. At Summer Serve, for sure, but probably long before that, like on the way home today, and after we get home, and when we get up tomorrow morning. And He's letting us love and serve people we don't know so we can get really good and we can practice for that group that's harder to love than the people we do know. Let's pray.